Welcome to our Liberty Church Bible Studies. Today we're going to be going through one of the 10 church values that we have in place. These are the values that help shape and define who we are, the culture of Liberty Church. And we believe that as we put these values into place in our lives, that we practice them on a daily basis, that God will greatly enhance who we are, what we're becoming, and what we will achieve in the kingdom of God. So we pray now that as you come into God's word, that you too will also gain great wisdom and great revelation through his word, and you will become all that God wants you to be, all that you were destined to be in Christ. So have a blessed time now and just enjoy the word of God. Should we kick this off then? I'm looking forward to this. Awesome. Can I say as well, welcome to some people have joined us who are not part of Liberty family, which is great. So it's great that you want to listen and be a part of this. I'm really pleased about that. This is not going to be so much of an inspirational teaching, although hopefully it will inspire, but more doctrinal and more foundational. And what we're talking about today is the values that we have in Liberty Church. We have a number of values that Liberty Church is built on, and we're going to be going over those values. And the first value that we have in our breakdown on the website, you'll see it's called God is good. All right, God is good. Which I think is really apt considering the climate that we're in at the moment. In the Old Testament, we'll have a number of names for God, which are they're revealed as time goes by. God doesn't reveal himself all at once. So he's revealed himself as time goes by through the Old Testament. And if I can picture it like this, say that there's 12 names of God. And the first time that Abraham, when he's called, the first time that Abraham meets a guy called Melchizedek, Melchizedek says, "Blessed are you, Abraham, of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth." And that word in there for God, possessor of heaven and earth, comes out as El Elyon. So Abraham, being a moon worshipper originally, would have had a heavenly perspective of God, but not realized that God actually possesses heaven and earth. So God reveals a part of his character to Abraham that Abraham had never known before. There was a number of names that God was going to reveal. And I want you to imagine this for a moment. There's 12 months in a calendar year. And there's 12 main names of God. So you imagine now that January, which is only 1/12 of the month, if January was the only month of the year that was lit up by the sun, and the other 11 months were in darkness. So you started off in January, and you would be able to see everything in January, but then you enter into February through to December, and it's pitch black. Well, this is what it was like in terms of revelation concerning God. So he was revealing himself a bit at a time over the centuries to show his character and his nature. So there's an unraveling, a progressive revelation of God. Abraham had his first revelation, then he gets another one with Jehovah Jireh. I am the Lord who provides. There's another revelation in Exodus about Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord who heals you. So he's constantly revealing himself to people. And this takes literally thousands of years. But you can imagine, in the meantime, there's people going through that progressive revelation who don't know anything about God, and they're walking in darkness regarding his nature and his character. And I believe that this current climate that we're in is exposing, if you like, our lack of revelation of the true nature and character of God. I really believe that. I believe that God wants us to understand who he really is. as opposed to I've actually listened to prophecies over the last couple of weeks, and these prophecies have come out with things about God which I thought, man, this is not the God I know. They're trying to make him out as a God of judgment, a God who is punishing people on earth, that kind of stuff. And I want to show us from scripture that God is good. He is good. Through this revelation that's growing through the Old Testament, we even come to a place in Jeremiah chapter 29 where the Israelites are taken captive in Babylon, and prophets are prophesying over the people, and they're prophesying lies. They're not prophesying the true revelation of God. And God is almost, he's saying, I'm gonna sort these people out because they're lying about me. But he goes on to say in Jeremiah 11, he says, because I know the thoughts and the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. So God is revealing in himself his nature, his character towards mankind. And I think it's being distorted over the time, but we're going to go into the scriptures now and do a study on it. So hopefully this will lay a good foundation. So you can imagine now the Old Testament from Genesis right through to Malachi, God is revealing himself bit by bit, let's say a month at a time, January, then February, then March, then April, and slowly but surely a fuller understanding of his character and nature is growing and becoming a part of mankind as he reveals himself to mankind. And then all of a sudden something happens, and it's the final revelation of God himself to mankind. And we see this in Hebrews 1:1-3. And we're reading from the Passion Translation. And I love this scripture. It says, throughout our history, God has spoken to our ancestors by his prophets in many different ways. The revelation he gave them was only a fragment at a time, 1 month at a time, building one truth upon another. But to us, living in these last days, God now speaks to us openly in the language of a son, the appointed heir of everything. For through him, God created the panorama of all things and all time. The sun is the dazzling radiance of God's splendor, the exact expression of God's true nature, his mirror image. He holds the universe together and expands it by the mighty power of his spoken word. He accomplished for us the complete cleansing of sins. He took his seat on the highest throne at the right hand of the majesty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's the majestic one. So in Jesus, the Bible tells us that the full revelation of God is encapsulated in Christ in bodily form. The full revelation. Everything about our Heavenly Father, about God, the God of the universe, we can actually see and discover in Jesus himself. Colossians 2 verse 9 says this, for in him, Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All the fullness. And that word there, fullness, is a word pleroma, which means repletion or completion, which means which is put into fill up. So Jesus was filled up with the full revelation of God Almighty, the walking embodiment of the Almighty God. It's amazing. So we can see in Christ, if we look at him closely, if we look at his ways, his lifestyle, listen to his words, you'll have the Father speaking through the Son. You'll have the Son carrying out the will of the Father. And you'll have the Holy Spirit confirming the Father's will through the Son. All there in Jesus, which is amazing. So, God is good. And I'll go into a few things where his goodness is revealed. His goodness is actually confirmed by Jesus himself. Mark 10:18 says this. So Jesus said to him, and this is a guy speaking to Jesus. He says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God." God himself, he is good. So Jesus is saying, God is good. And if we're going to believe anybody, let's believe Jesus. His goodness is revealed again through Jesus in Acts 10:38. And this is a cracking scripture. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So let's just break this out a minute, this scripture. Note this. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit. We have here the three persons of the Godhead. God anointed the Son with the Holy Spirit. The three of them there working together in harmony. The three persons of the Godhead. And it says that all of them were going about doing good. Doing good. And that word there for good actually means being philanthropic, which means the seeking of to promote the welfare of others, being generous and benevolent. Now, I want us to think of this in the light of today's climate. How many people do we come across that we won't come across anybody now because we're not seeing anyone. But there are people out there that are wondering, why is God doing this? They are blaming God. Those that have any inkling of a higher being or a higher power are being told in their thought life or by people around them that God is doing this. And yet we see God, the Father, in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, actually doing the exact opposite. Going about doing good, healing people, looking out for the welfare of people, being generous and being benevolent. And if he says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then that's the God he is. He is a good God. His goodness is also revealed in repentance. Romans 2:4 says, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Every one of us owes our salvation to a good God. Romans 5:8 says that even when we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So I'm literally his enemy. Before I was saved, I was God's enemy. I wasn't for him. I was doing my own thing. But God himself, in his goodness, sought me out and saved me. I didn't deserve it. None of us deserve it. But it's the goodness of God that leads us to that place of repentance. God is good. And we're building a fellowship in Liberty Church, especially, I believe this. Our family, we want to create a culture of people who know that God is good. If we don't create this culture, then something else will create a culture, and it won't be the one that we want. It'll be something else. So I want us to really get our claws into the truth of who God really is. He's a good God. His goodness is under attack. It's under attack. James 1:13. Let no one say when he's tempted that I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But in the book of James, people were actually wondering all the problems they were coming up against, the temptations that they were having. James had to teach them, when you're going through this, don't say that God is tempting you, because God cannot tempt you. Why? Because he's good. He doesn't lead us into evil. He doesn't want to take us into evil, but he wants to lead us from evil and protect us from evil. Ezekiel 18, 31 to 32. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord. Therefore, turn and live. This is God's heart. He's not willing that any should perish. Why? Because he's a good God. I got a sign coming up on my Zoom, which I don't believe. It says I'm going to be running out of time in 9 minutes. But I don't believe it. I think the restrictions have been taken off at the moment, and we're going to carry on. But if I get cut off, I'll start another one. You could just join in with the same code, all right? Just in case. So God's goodness is under attack. And I believe it's under attack today. And like I said, I don't know what you've been listening to, the voices that you've been having that have come into your living rooms over the last couple of weeks regarding this whole corona business. But I've heard quite a few. I've read prophecies. I've looked at the prophecies on YouTube of actually quite renowned people classing themselves as prophets. And they're not great, the way that they speak about God. And they're actually prophesying other things that are supposed to be coming up, which God is supposedly behind. And he's doing it out of his judgment. But I don't believe it, because God is good. His goodness is everlasting and unchangeable. My next point, in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. This terminology here, no variation or shadow of turning, I believe is taken from the concept of a sundial. So the way that you would measure time using a sundial is that you would have it in a certain position, and then as the sun moved, a shadow would be cast. And you could tell what time of the day it was by the shadow being cast across this dial on the floor. And this scripture is telling us that there is no variation or shadow of turning with God's goodness. He doesn't move. He is absolutely rigid, absolutely still. His character and his nature never changes. It never fluctuates. And that is the good God. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from God. He's a good God. Next, his goodness is untainted and totally pure. 1 John 1:5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. So for him to do anything which is not good actually goes against his character, because God is love. God is agape. And he is light. God is light. So that he is absolutely pure and holy, and there's no darkness in him. So his goodness cannot be tainted or stained or any blemish on it. He is a totally pure, good God. Next, his goodness is promised to those who love him. Promised to them. Romans 8:28. This is my wife's baptismal promise. So I know this one quite well, and you probably know it anyway. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. All things work together for good. And that's why I believe as well that even with this climate we're in right now, God, if we trust him, he says, I am going to take what the enemy's using for evil and I am going to turn it and use it for good. We can stand on that. It's a promise. All things will work together. God somehow is able to change all this around. He's able to bring good things out of it. I bet there's going to be multitudes of people that are going to come to faith through this going on right now on earth. Multitudes. Because he's a good God and he's working it all together. And I bet there's testimonies that some of us could come up with already about things that have happened that we can see the goodness of God in. Next, his goodness is to be revealed through his church. Ephesians 2:10 says this: For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Good works. Works that were produced that is for the welfare and the benefit of others, for the generosity in other people's lives. Good works. And we, the church, have been called to actually walk in and manifest these good works. I see us just carrying out the same thing that Jesus did. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good. And I believe that it's no different for every Christian to manifest the same quality and character of God in our lives, the nature of God, that God, he's actually lined them up for us already to walk in. Even now in this situation, I bet there are things that God has already prepared for us to walk in, which are good works. We've been able to touch the neighbours through going round and seeing them before the lockdown, giving out phone numbers, letting them know that we're here. If they need us, give us a ring, whatever it is. And I believe that that is good works, touching people's hearts. And there are people, as you know, that are just going above and beyond the call of duty today in our climate, doing good works that God has prepared beforehand. Let me carry on. Luke 6:27. And this is our good works as well, the nature of God. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. That is not a judgmental, angry God when he's telling us to do good to people who hate us. That is a good God, an amazing God. And lastly, on this scripture, I know I've got a lot of scriptures here, but I want us to be able to take these away and read them over and get them into our hearts and our minds and be able to stand on these things as we go through this season and learn about the true nature and the character of God. His goodness is a fruit produced by his Spirit. It's a fruit produced by his Spirit in our lives. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Our God is a good God. Are we being good in this climate. You know what, me and, I can honestly say in our home here, generally pretty good. We can be quite level-headed. Things are going smoothly, but every now and again, you know what it's like when you're locked up in a small room with people, there's a moment where that goodness just seems to get thinner and thinner and can disappear. But I believe that we're in a season where, with patient endurance, that the fruit of the Spirit is going to be developed in our lives like never before. Thank you for spending some time with us today. We really hope that you are blessed, strengthened, and encouraged by God's Word. If you'd like to know anything more about Liberty Church, then please feel free to browse on our website or visit us on our Facebook page of Liberty Church Newport. And we'd love to hear from you if you ever want to drop us a line. So every blessing to you now. Take care and God bless.